Hi, it's Greg and Lucky.
And this is our podcast. If you don't catch us from 5 to 9, this is what you missed.
There are some who are using the eclipse yesterday to claim they have eclipse sickness.
Oh, come on.
Much like the time change, you know, there's no evidence that this is a real thing, no.
Other than eye issues because you were stupidly staring at it after everyone told you not to.
Yeah.
I can't imagine why you would need time off.
Symptoms range from insomnia, fatigue, appetite. One woman claimed it knocked off her menstrual cycle. Well, it did it to me. I know that. I've been off it. It was there and then it was gone.
You're pregnant. That's what it is. That's what happened.
That's what happened. I'm having a baby. Did you see the eclipse? And if you did, you shouldn't have been staring straight at it, which a lot of people did, apparently, because Google searches for my eyes hurt skyrocketed right after the eclipse ended. That peaked around 3:20 p.m. as the eclipse was maxing out over the East Coast. Searches for why do my eyes hurt were also up, because you were staring at the sun, dummy.
Yeah. Well, and like you were told over and over.
Yeah.
And even, like, don't take a picture of it, because your camera doesn't have the right filter.
People don't listen. People just do whatever they want. It won't affect me. If you did stare at the eclipse, there's a list of symptoms to look out for, like headaches, blurred vision, and a blind spot in one or both eyes. Oh, that would be great. The good news is, usually resolves on its own, especially if you only peeked for a few seconds, but see an eye doctor if necessary. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we had a lot of the cloud over the GTA, so we didn't get to the big exposure like so many did down along down Fort Erie, supposedly. It's really, you kind of feel for some people because there was this kind of guessing game. Everybody said Niagara Falls for sure. That's the place to go. And then so many went. And then I heard as the day progressed and the clouds were coming in, soon like Leamington, it was like a great spot.
Yeah, you know, towards Windsor.
Yeah. And then people, you can imagine, they're hopping in their car. Let's go. It's just a 4-hour drive. We'll get over there.
Not those who spent $3,000 a night to stay in Niagara.
Well, if you have $3,000 for one night in Niagara, I'm sure you can pull it together to drive somewhere else. But Fort Erie looked like it really.
Well, there's not a cloud in the sky.
Yeah.
And in some of the pictures from that kind of event where it was like pure blue sky, kind of like it is right now.
Yeah.
Which would have been perfect for viewing it. But you know, where we were, it just it opened up just as it kind of passed totality.
Yeah.
So there was a little spot in the clouds, perfect to kind of get a little look at it. And the kids had their solar eclipse glasses. It was actually really, really cool.
Yeah, I just thought the complete darkness, not that it went completely dark over at our place. It's normally fairly dark over my place, but this is just a little darker.
This is the dark cloud extended further from where it normally does over your house.
People on about this is 24/7 at my place. Just the way it went dark and then came right back to daylight, like that was really kind of cool. Even that effect I thought was really interesting. And, you know, the street lights came on and
I thought the change in temperature was really cool because, you know, obviously with no sun to heat things up, it got really cold very suddenly and quietly. Birds kind of stopped chirping for a second, kind of thought it was night. And then as it was happening, as it cleared out, you know, even looking up through the glasses on it, you could feel the sun kind of beating back down on you and how warm it was getting again.
Yeah. So we're done with that now for like 120 years on this side of the country. And obviously, I won't be around for the next time it happens because I'll be in Spain. I'm hoping this. You know how I always say I have this feeling in my gut that all medical problems will be solved by the time I.
So you'll catch it when you're 170.
This AI thing, I think, is going to come in and save the day.
Okay,
it's going to solve all the medical issues.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, cancer gone, everything gone.
Well, I said at one point to my youngest, to Christian, I said, you know, the next time you see this, probably you'll be with your grandchildren.
If it's 120 years,
I think 90 years we get a partial one or something.
Oh,
like
yeah,
that.
But not a full on.
Not a full
120 years, for a full on. So his grandchildren might be with their grandchildren, is what I'm saying.
Still spending my money.
Yeah. You've got that much to carry that?
See,
no.
The life you need.
No, you let a little inside there. A little opening to the world of Lucky.
Well, one could hope.
Yeah, well, one
just
knows.
Keep playing that Powerball.
No, you won the Powerball. You won that a long time ago. There's enough winning for you already. If you want to see a different angle, if you haven't had enough of it, NASA has posted footage from the space station. So you can see the shadow passing over the Earth.
Oh.
Instead of from our angle.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, go check that out. If you love Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man, well, he might just return. He says he'd happily come back as Iron Man. He says it's too integral, a part of my DNA. He says that role chose me. And he goes on to say, look, nothing is impossible when the multiverse is involved. So,
sure. And nothing's impossible when the multi-millions are involved either.
Sure. Yeah.
No. Nope. I mean, who would walk away from that?
Many do, though. You know, look at like the Sean Connerys and Bond and others who finally just didn't want to be pinned to that one character anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's why a lot of people give up on sitcoms because they don't want to be known as that forever.
Did he walk away from it?
Sean Connery?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Yeah. He bailed. So did Roger Moore.
Right. Yeah. Daniel Craig, same thing, right?
Yeah. After a while, you know. But at this stage of Robert Downey Jr.'s career, he's also not a young man, whereas I guess Connery probably was, although they all looked older back then. He probably was younger. I mean, Downey's probably my age.
Right.
And I'm sure Sean Connery was probably like in his early 30s or something when he looked like he was already in his 50s. And speaking of things coming to an end, CBS is pulling the plug on some shows. Bob Hart's Abishola ends in May. And then Big Bang Theory prequel Young Sheldon gets pulled. And Jim Parsons, there's another example of somebody who pulled the plug on a very successful show because he just didn't want to be Sheldon anymore.
Right.
In the Big Bang Theory. So Jim Parsons and Mayim Bialik will return for the series finale as adult Sheldon and Amy. And if you're a fan of SWAT, it also is ending after 7 seasons. No word on what's replacing them. There is a woman who became, I guess, a big star in the 90s. Her music career was massive. Then she went quickly downhill for her for a lot of different reasons. And she could very well be done with her music career. She doesn't seem to be in any hurry to restart it. And maybe she doesn't have to, because an OnlyFans manager believes this woman could bank $100 million a year just on OnlyFans. $13 million to $18 million in her first month, and then level off to $6 million to $9 million per month. And that's Britney Spears.
Oh.
I mean, she already likes to seem to get naked on the internet anyhow.
I was going
to
say, she's pretty much showing it all for free on Instagram.
$100 million a year for bopping around in your living room.
Right.
Yeah. Not bad. Not bad. I'm waiting by my phone for somebody to call. I will happily bop around.
You're missing a couple of attributes.
Yeah. And I got too many of some other stuff. I always think this is interesting. This has been going on for a while now, where you'll see like somebody young wearing like an AC/DC t-shirt or a Rolling Stones t-shirt. And there's been this rule that if you don't know at least 3 songs of an artist, you shouldn't be wearing their merch.
Gotcha.
But most people, when I say it's fine, you wear whatever the hell you want to wear. Doesn't really matter. And certainly bands will say the same thing because they want to sell you their merch.
Yeah, if you bought it, fine.
But it's interesting. The most popular music artist t-shirt right now belongs to Olivia Rodrigo.
Really?
Yeah. And the average person spends $400 on band t-shirts in their lifetime. But metal fans spend the most, an average of $500. Metal fans also own the most shirts with an average of 10. Otherwise, it's 6. And a quarter of us own a shirt from a concert we never even went to. Yeah, it's great. And this is interesting. So when Eddie Van Halen died, he was surrounded by his ex-wife, Valerie Bertinelli, their son, Wolfgang, and Eddie's brother, Alex, and his 2 sons. And also pizza. They ordered it just after he passed. Valerie says, I forget who suggested it, But we were like, we should have pizza because he couldn't eat. And the last thing Ed really wanted was pizza. He loved pizza and burritos. So we had pizza in his hospital room in his honor. I hope people don't think that's morbid.
Nah.
I think you do whatever you want.
Yeah, you can. And listen, if you go through the day and all the craziness that can happen in the days and weeks and months leading up to that, yeah, sometimes just sitting back, you forget to eat and take care of yourself
yeah.
in so many situations.
Well, I know that when we sat around my dad in the funeral home, and I thought was really interesting because we had a very basic no church, no nothing, no ceremony, no minister, no nothing. We did the same. This was my parents' wishes. We did the same for my mom. But in the almost 10 years that had gone by, they used to just have the person laid out in a coffin, just usually a pine box because they're going to be cremated anyhow, and you'd stand around that. This particular funeral home, and I don't know if all funeral homes are doing it now, but they put the person in a bed. So they've got them fully dressed in whatever, you know, we want to send them out in.
All right.
And they got like a blanket on them, so they look like they're just having a sleep.
Oh.
And then you sit around that bed. And so I think we had a half an hour with him, and we did kind of the same thing. We had a drink.
Right.
We all sat there and we had a scotch.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we came with my father. He was, my mom said, he had always said when it came to funerals that, like, you know, I'll feed you when I'm alive. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to feed you when I'm gone. You're not eating off my back then. So we had this kind of interesting little dilemma where when you have a bigger funeral, you're having a lot of people coming into town. You have a reception afterwards and feed them. And she was like, no, he was adamant that no, I'll feed you when I'm alive.
Isn't that interesting?
And my dad always, they hosted all the time. Mm. His bar, although he didn't drink, was stocked. With good stuff for his friends.
Right.
And he treated them when he was alive.
There's a lot of talk about how divided we all are these days and how divisive things are, but that could be changing. A survey on our attitudes shows adults say they're sick and tired of the anger and negativity, and we want less negativity in the news and on social media. And we believe it's feeling us less connected. We say we want to have fun. We have with people that we haven't gotten along with lately. That there are people in our lives that we'd really want to reconnect with, even if we disagree on some issues. And almost all of adults say they don't have to agree on everything to enjoy a meal with somebody. And I think for the most of us carry on, you know, silently through our lives, doing our thing. It's just those small groups of far, far left and far, far right and the lunatic fringe that yells and screams the most and seems to make us all feel like we're divided. And in this country, and much like in the States, we've gone down the same road and you still see the pickup trucks with the waving flags and you just wonder, why are you going on? And I know people in my life who have those beliefs and, still get along fine with them. I think they're 100% wrong. And in the early days of COVID, I was certainly fighting with a lot of them. But, I think it is possible. I think we just got to shut out all the noise.
Yeah. Well, part of the problem, I think, is that, you know, social media and the anonymity of it has just taken away all discourse, or the thought. Or the old classic, bite your tongue.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have anything good to say.
Mm-hmm.
Because everyone just thinks they can. Some are doing it just to stir the pot. Some are bots. Mm-hmm. And some, you know, are just that element that just like to, you know, crap disturbers, basically. And will just poo-poo on everything. Yesterday was a great example of a massive story hitting all of North America that wasn't negative.
Right. Right. It was a great day.
It was an eclipse going by, something that happens once in a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
But yet you got people saying, well, what's this crap? It's causing traffic. They're finding the negative in it and having to share it.
That's that small group.
Yeah. I could care less. Mm-hmm. Fine. Then shut up. Well, no, you know, you don't have to give your opinion on everything.
Yeah, and you don't have to read it either.
No.
Which I don't. I just stay off it.
But the fact that it's even there, right? Like it's because, as you said earlier, people are posting pictures of it. You want to see what their view of it was. But in that, you've got to have someone who even like comments on those pictures.
Well, what cares, I said was right? I saw people sharing photos in a Dairy Queen. I didn't say I was on social media looking for photos.
Right. But if you were just looking for other photos of it, you get along with it. And it happens with every bit of news, good or bad. Someone's got something negative to say and feels like they can or have to share that.
And this isn't something that we've even had a discussion about. But if you're a longtime listener to this show, you know that much like during COVID, when it was a lot of what we talked about, there was also that period of time when Trump was president and there was a lot of what we spoke about and there was a lot of interaction with a lot of listeners over that, both good and bad. And I have just decided that I will, unless something dramatically crazy happens with him, I'm just not speaking of him anymore because he's like COVID. It's just never ending. It's right. Just always a cycle of insanity with him. And so why bother? Yeah. Why bother?
Well, and listen, the same is happening in this country too, between, Trudeau and Poilievre and people tire of whatever government is in there for a certain point of time. At one point, Brian Mulroney was the greatest thing. And so was at one time Pierre Trudeau and until, you tire of them. And that's just the way the cyclical act of politics works. And so, you were getting that vitriol in this country. There were memes yesterday of, instead of the lunar eclipse, it was the Poilievre eclipse over Trudeau, but again, we've said this before, politics and sex and money were things that at one point weren't talked about.
Politics and religion. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You just kind of sat back and you had your own views of that. You might have gone to meetings where you share that type of thing but it wasn't dinner conversation. Now, everyone wants to drum that up.
Yeah. No, we're done, I think, with a lot of political talk and just on to my body functions. My creams and my lotions. Sometimes it's necessary to take someone down a peg or two, and you don't want to sound overly offensive. Sometimes you have the little nuance with it, you know?
Well, you know it well.
Uh-huh. Well, somebody has to be taken down a peg or two occasionally. That's all I'm saying.
You love to do it.
Yeah. Well, you know. There's a thread online where people are talking about their favorite insults that don't sound offensive. Things like, what an odd thing to say aloud.
That seems very British.
Yeah. That sounds like something you'd say.
Right. Yeah.
I love this one. I admire how you don't let your limitations affect your confidence. That could be said to me. It's impossible to underestimate you. That's a good one. I like this. Wisdom has been chasing you, but you've always been faster.
Oh my goodness. It's good because if the person really isn't that smart, it'll take them a long time.
Yeah. They'll be driving home and, you
wait a minute.
I'll get you.
That was an insult.
Yeah. I don't know what this means, but it sounds good. You're all mouth, but no trousers. I don't know what the hell that means.
No.
Oh, now I see what everyone's talking about. I admire your enthusiasm.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. And your teacher always handed your test back face down, didn't she?
That one's good.
Yeah, that is good.
That's almost like the Tommy Boy, did you live next to power lines? That's good.
A teacher said when one of my students would come to me and they can't find a group to work with because they don't get along with students A, B, C, and so on, I'd say to them, what is the common denominator of this problem?
Right, right? Yes.
It's like a guy or a girl says, I don't know, I can't date anybody.
Maybe it's you.
Yeah, and it probably is. Are your kids spoiled little brats? Now, I think it's probably really hard to be completely honest with yourself on that because even in your heart of hearts, if you know it's true, it's your fault, and it's tough to blame yourself.
Right. Well, because, yeah, if you are going to admit that your kids are spoiled, you're admitting that you are the one that caused
them. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, a lot of people, parents certainly, if they know that their kids are spoiled little brats. And most children, are like little ones, kind of in that age 5, 6, 7, they are spoiled little brats.
Right.
Not necessarily always from material items, but just the world revolving around them. And if they don't get what they want right away, and there's lots of screaming and yelling and tears. And then most of them grow out of it around 35, 36 years of age.
Right.
Or maybe never. But anyhow, some expert, child-rearing expert, was asked to come up with signs to show your kid is spoiled or not. And if they exhibit a couple of these, they're fine. But anything more than like 3, and you're starting to head into spoiled territory. So things like when you tell them no, they throw a tantrum.
Right.
They're never satisfied with what they have.
Mm-hmm.
They think the world revolves around them.
All right.
They demand things now. They're sore losers. They manipulate. And you have to bribe them to do stuff.
That's, you sound spoiled.
That's 7 things. I've got 9 of them. Yeah, I never grew out of it. Yeah, I can throw a tantrum. I'm never satisfied. I believe the world revolves around me. I want things now. I am a
sore loser. We have to bribe you to go anywhere.
Yeah. Well, so there you go. And,
right.
I would think that with most of our children, I'm sure they exhibit 2 or 3 of those or more.
Yes, of our generation. Because I think we will, and we are completely to blame for this. Or at least our spouses are.
Throwing your wife under the bus.
I didn't throw mine. I said our.
Our collective wife.
Right. And so we will all say that we weren't spoiled. Right.
Mm.
Like we'll say because our parents treated us differently or did things different.
Mm.
But so very few will admit to having been spoiled. But they when we look at what we've raised and what we're doing, you know, there's a lot of those tendencies. Although I will say this, I think it might be changing back in some senses. Because much like the old adage that video killed the radio star, I think the technology is now killing the parent.
Mm.
Because I remember when we were first having kids, there was this trend among parents to be like, well, my kid's not going to be on devices, right? My baby isn't getting a device or my kid's not getting a phone. And now we switched to the point where, you know, they're making iPads and cases for toddlers and babies and making iPad holders for strollers. And we're to the point now we're just like, yeah, go ahead. Use the device.
But how is that going backwards?
That's
just folding in more.
It's folding in, but it's not folding in to the point where you're babying them. You're doing your thing and leaving them to the device.
Right? Probably not good at all either.
Probably, no.
I like the idea in as much as the way politics works in the U.S., there's not a lot I agree with in Ron DeSantis, but his trying to push the no internet access for kids under the age of 14.
Or no social media.
Social media. I actually applaud that. I think that's a good decision. I think the smartphone is making us complete idiots. And I just don't think a lot of parents know how the sentence, no, we can't do that, or no, we can't afford that.
Right.
I think we have done our children horrible harm. In just the, for a variety of reasons. And I don't see that changing anytime soon at all.
Yeah. And I think there's a fear of admitting like it's a failure or something to tell your kids that we can't afford to do something.
You know, and certainly children, look, they see it younger now because of, again, social media, even though a lot of it is so phony. But I even remember as a kid, there was a certain point in my life where I was aware enough to look around and go, oh, that guy's got a lot.
Mm.
His family's doing well.
Right.
My family, not so much. You can see it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Christmas was a great example. I'd go over to his house and it'd be like an Eaton's had exploded in the living room. It would just be, you know, and from all material items to all the best food items to the nicest new cars in the driveway and the family always taking vacations.
Right.
And then, I mean, I did again start to realize that, okay, this is also because his father is an electrician and owns a company with employees, but he was also gone sometimes for days on end because he worked in factories fixing electrical issues. Mm-hmm. So if something went down at 2 a.m, he got called. So then you start to realize, okay, with hard work and some success and luck, these things come.
Yes.
You know, and I remember even seeing it in my parents where they would get kind of very jealous and their nose at a joint at people who had more.
Yeah.
And I would say, well, Mom, you know, maybe you got to work.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. You know, it's a great line that, you know, hard work early is, you know, easier life later. Mm-hmm. Right. And, mm-hmm. and, you know, if you take it easy early, it can be a lot harder.
Sure.
Later.
Yeah.
You know, and that adage does play out quite often. But, you know, and part of the problem with the way that social media caught on and that, you know, you say that it's fake. It's not, it's the, you know, we present the reality we want to.
Right.
Right. And so a lot of times you go on it and you'll see somebody and be like, damn, are they on vacation again?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what the hell is going on? Or just, you know, look around your neighborhood. It doesn't have to be on social media. You see a brand new house, mm-hmm. Or someone buy a house and then basically bulldoze it. Build it brand new over top of it and then put a couple of $100,000 cars in the driveway. And you think, what are they doing that I'm not?
Yep.
You know, a lot of it is a house of cards. There's a lot of people out there a lot more comfortable in debt than I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you could drive across the northern part of the city from Oshawa to the Halton Hills and you'll see a bazillion different little communities and subdivisions with that story playing out over and over and over again.
So. I wonder if it'll play out that, you know, all these people that are afraid to admit to the kids that, you know, they don't have the money or that they're broke and they do it by throwing it all on a line of credit. Their kids are going to find out later.
Oh yeah.
When they're stuck with the bill.
I found out January of 2023. I'm still paying it.
Rock Mornings with Craig Venn and Lucky. 94.9 The Rock.